Let's take a Bible today, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter number 11. I'd like to share some words there, and we'll look at a couple of other places in Scripture. But we're talking about faith this morning and continuing in faith. We're saved by faith, and we walk by faith. Faith is a very integral part of a believer. And I'd like for us to look at the matter of continuing in faith today. In Hebrews chapter 11, often known as the Hall of Faith, several names are mentioned there regarding their faith. But as we think about being born again through faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So God has entrusted us or given us this faith to walk by and to live by, and I'd like for us just to look at it this morning in what it really is and how we're to conduct ourselves and to stay with it, if you would. In verse number 1 in chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I kind of broke this down in a way that would maybe say a little more than what we get sometimes from what we're looking. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that it is, of course, looking up some of the Greek wording and vernacular of what's being said. Faith is the substance. That word hypostasis in the Greek means under. Hyper, oftentimes you understand, means over. You're over the top. He's hyper. He's a hyper person. He's over the top. Well, hoopo is under. It's the substance of our faith. It's the underlying foundation. It's what we're built upon. Think about that just a moment. Faith is the substance. It is what God gives to the believer at the point of conversion, or by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. He gives us the wherewithal, the substance to stand on. And everything that we have as a believer is resting on that word faith. Who you are, what you do. Why do you do what you do? How can we be sure that we're saved? By faith. If faith is something that we can't see, but yet we're told it's the underlying substance now. Faith is the substance. See, sometimes it's hard to determine. We say we're walking by faith and not by sight. Well, what is that faith? That faith, again, is the underlying substance of the foundation of what and who we are. Everything that I have rests upon, of course, faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in His Word. We'll see this in just a moment. But what He says is, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What kind of things is it that we're hoping for? Well, we're looking at eternal life. We're talking about getting a new body one day as a born-again believer. That's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to have eternal life? It's all based on what? What we believe is in. No, it's the substance. We believe in Christ. He's the foundation. And you and I are built upon that foundation, the Apostle Paul said in writing to those in Corinth. Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter said that you and I are the lively stones being placed in this building, which again is a metaphor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. We are the lively stones of the building of Christ. He's the husband, we're the bride of Christ. There's the bride in the building. And of course, more so in just that, he's the head and we're the body. Well, what's the body doing? The body is not supporting the head. As a matter of fact, the head is the substance of what we believe in. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this body that you and I have been put in. But yet, our substance, our faith is resting on Him. And the things, again, eternal life. What about forgiveness of sins? We thought about that. Our sins are forgiven. We sang earlier, glory to his name. Thank God that the blood was applied as Christ died on the cross. And by faith, we receive that. We receive the work that he did. We weren't there, but we can see that by faith in his word. Again, how can we trust that? What is the substance of that faith? Well, we have his written word, the recorded word of God. That's where also lies our faith, is in the substance of his word. He honors his word above his name. That's what the psalmist said. God honors his word above his name. Now, his name is above all, but he honors his word. He is a man of his word. And this is where our faith lies in this matter of these things hoped for. Again, that word, sometimes when we use it in an English language, we're talking about things that are uncertain. Well, how's things going, or what are you planning on doing? Well, I hope to do this. Sometimes it's an uncertain matter. I hope to get another job. I hope to buy this. Or I hope to be able to do that. But there's always the uncertainty of that in our wording. But again, in the Greek, elpis means to have faith plus promise. That's the substance that I mentioned. Faith is the substance. But we have, again, in God's word, it being faith given to us by his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the importance, again, of understanding that our faith is in the word of God. It sustains us, and faith plus promise equals hope. Certainty. That's what we have according to the word of God. We have a certain hope. It's not an uncertain hope, wondering if we're going to make it or not, or whether we'll fail before Christ returns. But we have the certainty. It's a promise plus faith that reveals that Christ is working in and through us. Through faith, he says in verse number 3, we understand that the worlds were framed. That's the substance. Again, where is this faith resting? It's resting in his word. We have the recorded word of God, that this earth and everything that you and I see was created in 6 24-hour days. Not evolving. I'll mention Wednesday night, it's amazing these evolutionists. I don't know what the end of the result of their evolution process is. We're talking billions of years, and what would go beyond that, I don't know. But eternity is far, a lot farther than billions of years. It's farther than anything that you and I could ever try to measure with the human mind. Eternity is forever. There never has been a time when God was not. There will never be a time when he is not. You measure it. Nothing has evolved. If anything, it's devolving. Man is going away from God. He's not coming closer to God. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are those coming to faith in Christ. But we see the world itself. Paul said this earth groans under the weight of sin. Oftentimes you hear of another, a volcano that has erupted. You hear of another tsunami. There's another earthquake. And these things, because this earth is under the weight of sin, and one day it's going to be released from the weight of sin during the millennial reign of Christ. And we'll see the earth is in a sense as it was created. We read in Isaiah how that the lion and the lamb will be together. No conflict there. Of course, sin will be suppressed by the believers during that time. But we're talking about how that God created these things. And this is a sure hope. It's the faith plus the promise of God. Can we rely on God's word? Sure we can. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word changes not. So the promises that were given in the Old Testament, we can take those promises, many of those promises. Some of those promises were given only to the nation of Israel, and they will receive those during the millennial reign of Christ. But you and I can take God at his word. And that faith that we have, plus the promises of God, gives us hope. This is what it said. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence in the Greek, eleko, means a conviction plus a display of the charge. Think with me just a moment. In a matter of a lawsuit, there's a conviction where that this person has been convicted, but do we have the evidence of that? Well, caught red-handed. Today that means nothing in some places, but it does with God. When you have the conviction plus the evidence, this is what he's speaking of. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. We have the evidence presented before us in the Word of God of things not seen. Meaning what? That God has demonstrated, he has showed to us, he has displayed, and we see that in the life of a believer. What do you mean by that? Well, here's a person who had a lifestyle of this type, and they came to know Jesus Christ, and they did a 180. It's a complete difference. They're not the same person. You say they are the same. Yeah, sure they are in what we recognize, but any man in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. We're talking about our position now before God. We are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. There may be the, talking about sin and the consequences. The consequences of sin often can follow a person, but that matter of sin itself has been dealt with and put away in the sight of God through faith, believing in what Christ did. And then again, this not only this conviction, but demonstrating what a person believes. That's where we want to learn to continue on in faith. We hear a lot of people today saying that they're born again, they're saved, but they're still living the same old lifestyle. And it brings a question to our mind. Did it happen? Is it real? What's the problem here? Well, we understand again, many times people are saved, they're never discipled in the things of God. They pray a prayer or repeat this and mean it, but they don't know what to do after the fact, and they just continue to live on in the same manner that they will live in. Only God knows who those people are that are saved. I've said this before. It's going to surprise us. It really won't, but just a thought of mine. There are going to be people in heaven that you thought would never have made it. And there's going to be some that you thought would have made it, and they're not going to be there. But we're not going to think that way when we get there, but that is a thought to have, isn't it? Why? Because they're saved and only God knows it. There's no fruit in their life. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not trusting the Lord. They're not growing in faith. And this is where we need, I'm talking about born-again believers, you and I that are walking by faith in the Lord, that are growing in our faith, we need to come alongside these others and lift them up. We need, first of all, to determine whether they're saved. And this is what I tried to speak with a lot of the Kenyans about in this past mission trip. We have got, it's our responsibility. We are the disciples, the apostles of the day, the sent ones, so to speak. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not an apostle, but an apostle is a sent one. You and I are the sent ones of our day to reach this generation in which we're living. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? And that's the burden that we should have. When we see people who aren't walking in the light of the Word of God, they're not demonstrating the power of God in their life. We're not, if you would, questioning their salvation. But what's wrong with asking a person, have you been born again? Are you saved? I wouldn't mind somebody, they say, well, that may be offensive. Well, offend me some way if you would. I wouldn't mind someone asking me, hey, are you saved? I hope I'm not displaying a life that I'm not. But if I'm walking down the street to a place of business or whatever, it wouldn't bother me at all if someone said, hey, I'd like to share the gospel with you. I've had that happen before, and I said, I really appreciate that. I already know Christ, but I appreciate what you're doing. Let's encourage each other to do more. Let's do that, and this is what he's saying. We've got a sure foundation in faith. We know what it is, faith plus promise, gives us hope and the evidence of things not seen. Again, the evidence is this person has been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God to be born again. Now, is there any evidence in their life that the birth took place? See, that's what the conviction is. Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are we demonstrating in our life as a born-again believer that the Lord Jesus Christ abides in our heart? And I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm just trying to help us to think just a moment of what's being said. We should have, by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, we should have this conviction, and then there should be proof of that conviction. I said I was going to mention another scripture. Let's go back from Hebrews just a moment into 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16, a very familiar verse of scripture. It says, Paul writing, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that all scripture is breathed by God. It's the breath of God. God spoke it, it's written. You say, Paul wrote these books, others wrote, you're talking about the Apostle John, you're talking about Jude, James of the New Testament. All of the writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. They recorded what the Holy Spirit breathed upon them and gave them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which that would be teaching. For reproof, and here's our word again, only time it's used other than in Hebrews 11, you're talking about evidence there, the elekos, reproof. This scripture is given by inspiration for reproof, which would be, again, evidence. The Word of God is given so that you and I can read it. It will convict us. And then, in faith following this, we'll have the evidence, or we'll demonstrate or manifest the evidence in our life. That's the purpose of the written Word of God. God breathed His Word. It's given by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, evidence, for correction. The Word of God is what convicts a person. We talk about being under the sound of the Word of God. And that's why it's important to have people come in and to hear the Word of God. It's important for you and I to memorize Scripture, to know what to say to people. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to His disciples, there would come a time when they would be given the words as needed to say when they're brought before the courts, etc. He would put the words in their mouth. This will happen in much of this He speaks of during the tribulation. But the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind the things of God that we have read, heard, and studied at the appropriate time. I can't tell you how many times that this happens, and you know as well as I in your life, sometimes the Lord will bring a word up and you're able to share that with someone. You may not be able to quote the whole verse, it's not the chapter, but it's the principle of what the Word of God says. And Isaiah said that the Word of God would not return void. So that's why it's important for us to read the Word of God, to live by the Word of God, to walk in faith according to the Word of God, and then to use His Word, because it will bring conviction. Somebody said, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If the house was on fire, wouldn't you want to knock on the door and tell the people, hey, wake up. Your home's on fire. Get out. Or would you just drive by and say, well, they'll smell the smoke after a while. That's not why Christ commissioned us or how He commissioned us. We're to go and to teach. We're to make disciples. We're to tell those who are in darkness how to come to the light, how to come to a life that will be a complete change with these things that are promised, He says. It's the evidence, the substance of things hoped for. We have the evidence of things not seen. And then he says in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So without the proper substance, again, you're talking with people maybe on the street, and you ask them, are they a believer or are they a Christian? And again, in foreign countries, it's not so much an offensive term. It might be in some where the Muslims are. I've been accosted in that place before by speaking to a man and giving him a Bible tract. He went off on me. The police just happened to be close by in this country, and they pulled him back. I didn't realize how it got out of hand that quick, but there are those. But in most cases, you would ask someone, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And the answer could be, no, I'm not. And then we want to be able to share that faith with them. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Again, they may say, well, I'm a good person. But without the right substance, it's impossible to please him. We can't please him on our own. We can't please him with our works. That's what he said in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works. We can't do it. But we can rely on the substance. We can stand on the things of God. So many people today, in one sense, they're trying to work out their salvation when they need to just stop, be still, and stand. Stand on the truth. Stand on the Word of God. That's the support we have. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you understand through God's Word who He is. You understand what He has done in and through the matter of salvation. God sent His Son. God so loved the world. That's every person in this world. It's not just the globe or the planet that God loves. It's humanity. All of humanity. Again, sometimes it kind of blows our mind that people in other countries that are believers are not caring or loving some of the other people in this light. Well, they're of this tribe, or they of this make, or they of this whatever. When we come to the foundational teaching in the Word of God, we realize that all are sinners. Every person that's ever been born is a sinner. We're born in the image of Adam. Every person that has been born, all of humanity needs a Savior. So it doesn't matter what tribe, what color, what culture, it doesn't matter. We're all sinners. We need salvation. And having said that, Christ died for all. In other words, God sent His Son. He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And now Christ comes into the world. He dies on the cross for sinners. And there's not one sinner worse than the other sinner. Sinner is a sinner, and we're all sinners. But now, from faith in Christ, we have salvation, and now we're saints. We're still sinners, but we're saints. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Yes, we have, by trusting Jesus Christ. See, the penalty of sin is death. You say, well, I know a person, and they died. Sure, they did. Their body did, but they're alive in Christ. They're in heaven. Immediately, he said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're more alive now than they have ever been. This life that they have been living as a believer, growing in faith, now to leave this life, so to speak, physical life, and to be in the spirit, in the presence of Christ, is a wonderful thing. So we have this matter now of faith and bringing others to the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Again, thinking about what God does in giving to us a reward, eternal life, a new home. You're talking about redemption, forgiveness of sins, all of these things that take place at that moment in salvation, at that point of time. We had an opportunity this past couple of weeks or more to be with one church that supports one of the people there that we support, that supports orphans. And I was confronted with another church. This happens in other cultures, that people, they're needful. They're needing people, and they need certain things. And many of the people in Kenya, the father and the mother have died. The lifespan there is not as much as in the States here, and you've got a lot of orphans. And again, you're trying to feed or clothe a child or prepare them to grow and help in some way to take care of themselves. But I said, you know, this is one need, but the spiritual aspect of it is another. Bringing these children to Christ, helping them to understand who Christ is and the matter of salvation. And again, there's no age limit of that. People say, well, what is the, talking about the age of a child, age of accountability. I say, well, the scripture doesn't give an age of accountability. There's no place to where we can put our finger and say on it, they're safe until this age. No, they're not. What the scripture says is that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. That's James 4:17. That's quite evident. If a person gets to this age of knowing what is wrong and doing it, then they're at the age of their accountability. So a person, that's why I said you need to get these children, these young children, under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That is what has helped our nation to be where it is today, folks. At one time, children were taught the Bible in school, in the public school. At one time, there were Sunday school classes filled with children. The parents may not come, they may send their kids, but they were hearing the Word of God. See, that substance was being presented for them to stand on. And how many children have heard and sung the words of biblical wording of songs in Sunday school, and that's all they have for the rest of their life to live on? Thank God for those who put the foundation in front of them. And we need that. We need to, again, we're the generation. We need to come back together and say, what can we do to reach this generation without Christ? We are, not being in a condemning way, we are in a post-Christian era in this nation of America. What do you mean by that? Christianity is not as high in the statistics, I'll say that, as it once was. You hear people say, well, there, this many Christians, if and so, where are we in the matter of demonstrating that? Let's put it that way. If we're standing on this foundation, and this is what he said, what is the evidence of that? The conviction and the evidence. As someone has well said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would the would there be enough evidence to convict you that you're a Christian? I hope and pray that it would, that our life would be seen and demonstrated, and we could be charged for being a Christian and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we talk about the matter of faith, and what it does is it is the substance of things hoped for us. It's our foundation of the promises of God, that we're hoping for the Lord and what he's going to do. And then I'd like to look at another scripture this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Now that we're born again, talking about the believer and how we're to live, he says, the Apostle Paul again writing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, if you and I are a steward of God, then we are to live according to the things of God. We're to be a witness for the Lord. We're to be concerned for others. And we're to be faithful to the Lord. And this faithfulness, again, is what faith does for us. We have a substance of faith. We stand upon it. And we understand the Word of God. We see how that we're to live, and we're to be faithful to God in our service. I jotted a little thought I had down years ago. I've got it here next to this scripture. Faith is not measured by what it takes to get us going. Our faith is not. Our faith is measured by what it takes to stop us. What would it take to stop you from doing what God wants you to do? Not what is it going to take to get you going, but what will it take to stop you? I hope we're all going. And I want us to go more and get going. But what is it going to take to stop you? Somebody says, that was offensive. Don't ask me that again. Is that all it takes? How many times do we say, don't say that again? Or someone says that to us. What does it take to stop us? Real faith is not measured by what it takes to get us going, but what it takes to stop us. I had a friend years ago. He was moved to invite someone to church. He went to the neighbor's house. The man refused it. The first time, didn't want to have anything to do with it. Said, please don't mention that anymore. He was cordial, and he left. He went back the next week, and he asked him again. And the man got a little more hostile. And by the third time, before the man got out of his pickup truck, the guy met him in the yard and told him to get out of his yard. And he didn't stop. He waited a while, and he went back again. And he said he started up to the door, and the man came out and said, okay, said, I want to hear it. Said, I want you to tell me about it. And this is how God works. See, we're going in the strength of the Lord. When we go, we pray, and we ask God to use us. We're walking by faith. Lord, God loves all of these people, whether we sometimes tolerate them or not, but he loves them. And he puts the love of Christ in us. And we can't be stopped if we're based on our faith is based in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, because he has told us to go. And we can't stop when he said go. He said go. He said to teach. He said to make disciples. He said to baptize. You're talking about people being saved, to follow through. This is what God has called us to do. And we're to be faithful with this. Moreover, it is required. He didn't say it. It's suggested. God doesn't suggest that the steward be found faithful. He requires that. And folks, this is what God wants us to do, is to be faithful. Faithful as our example has been. I want to read this one and going back to Hebrews and closing this morning. The example set before us of this faithfulness found in Hebrews chapter 12. Thinking about what's being said, the writer says, wherefore? Think about this. Think about what has been said in chapter 11. We didn't go through all of it, but he talks about others who walk by faith. He said, wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these that have died before us, and he gives a testimony of how they lived according to their faith. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us stay with it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's our example. They couldn't stop him. They didn't shut him up. He was rejected. They took his life, but he never quit. Who, he says, looking unto him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That joy of dying on the cross, knowing that he would complete the atoning work of redemption, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's don't get weary and faint. Sometimes you may be like I've been and said, you know, I've asked this guy 20 times and it's the same answer. Let's don't grow weary, folks. Let's stay with it. Amen? Let's stay with it. Do the work of that the Lord called us to do, and thank God for our faith in Jesus Christ. It never has and never will change. Let's stand together this morning. Bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. Maybe there may be one here today that has never rested, they'll put their full weight resting in Christ, faith in Christ. He's the answer. He died that you might be saved. He died that you could know Him. Maybe today's the day of salvation. You would repent from your sin and turn to Christ and ask Him to save you. Maybe you're here today and sometimes we get tired in our walk of faith. Sometimes we become slack. Maybe today we need the Holy Spirit to quicken our minds and hearts to God and remind us of why we're here, what God has for us to do. Let's join back in and give it our best. Lord, whatever the decision is that needs to be made today, we ask you, Lord, that you do the convicting by and through the Word and Spirit of God, that whatever the answer is, Lord, that you would be glorified. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.